Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand.
Well, good morning, everybody. I might start with a very simple principle. I'm very loud today, aren't I? Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm starting with a very simple principle. We all, in life, we all start somewhere. And in life, we're all heading somewhere. In life, we all start sometime, someplace in history. You might know I was born in May 1975 in a run-down Catholic nunnery hospital in Crow's Nest. I grew up in and I went to school at a very snooty, snobby boys' school. I studied engineering in New South Wales University. I married Viv, my beautiful wife, who used to be a Pilates instructor. I say that because it's like saying she used to be a model. All these things combine. They kind of combine in my history and make me and bring me to the person that I am. And you, all of you guys, every single one here, you guys all started somewhere. You all have a history. You all have a past. And that past all shapes every single one of us and brings us and makes us who we are and brings us to today. Because we all start somewhere in life. And in life, we're all heading somewhere. Right here today, in the present time, we are all heading somewhere. If you're Christian, if you follow Jesus, we're all heading to Jesus in heaven to be with him forever. But here, the question we've got to ask this morning is, with our past, with our heritage, all the things that have shaped us to be who we are right here, right now, how can we head? How will we head into the future? What legacy will we leave behind? What heritage will we leave to the generations which follow? So this morning we're talking about building a heritage. How did you get to where you are today? And what do you plan to leave for the others who follow you? And to make it clear, we're not talking about money or investments or property. When I mean heritage, I'm talking about your character, your culture, your life. The problem is that in our I world, it's increasingly common for us not to have any continuity for any history or any legacy. So, for example, I don't even know the names of my grandfathers. I haven't got a clue what their favorite colors were. I don't even know what they did. I don't even know if I was their favorite grandchild. I presume I was. I know nothing about them, let alone what legacy they left for me. What they want me to be in the future. In our I world, we kind of cut ourselves off from that. However, as humans, we all have different backgrounds. We all have histories. And when we understand where we came from, and even more have some appreciation of it, it will help supply a healthy direction for us in the future. So in many ways, the idea of heritage, because of the world we live in, because we're products of the I world, is very difficult for us to grasp. When you look up the dictionary, there are at least three or four different definitions. I've written down the three I want to use. It's something inherited at birth, such as personal characteristics and status, or it's anything that has been transmitted from the past or handed down by tradition, or it's something that is reserved for a future generation. Basically, heritage has to do with what we've inherited from the past and also what we're reserving for the future. It's what's formed us in the past through our backgrounds, it's a direction that it's shaped us for our future. The word itself is kind of easy to understand, but the concept is difficult to grasp. And I think the concept is difficult to grasp because we live in the individualistic world, the I world. We've heard over the last few weeks that in the I world, we so value individualism. We've heard over and over how in the I world, we cut ourselves off from our relationships. We cut ourselves off from God. We cut ourselves off from one another. We cut ourselves off from our pasts. In the I world, the I is the most important. I define who I am by what I consume rather than who I am in relation to other people. And when we think of ourselves in isolation of others, we also cut ourselves off from our relationships in the past and in the future. I was made really aware of this when I visited Africa for the first time. In Africa, when you meet someone, they talk to each other and introduce themselves in terms of, I'm so-and-so, I'm the son of so-and-so, I'm the grandson of so-and-so, I'm related to this person, and this person. And that's kind of the way the Bible talks about relationships and how people are known. When you look, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, when you look at King Saul, this is how King Saul is described in relation to his family, in relation to those around him. This is King Saul. There was a Benjaminite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zerol, the son of Becheroth, the son of Aphir of Benjamin, and he had a son named Saul. An impressive young man without equal among the Israelites. Because of our I world, we don't think of ourselves as related to anyone. We don't think of ourselves of being so-and-so's son or so-and-so's grandchild. Or we don't think of ourselves in that way at all because we don't think of ourselves in terms of heritage. When I introduce myself, I say, hi, I'm Eric. Eric, me alone, nothing else, no connections. My identity is not linked to any other, especially those in the past. We don't think we're bound by anything past. We don't think we're bound for anything in the future because I am the center of my world. In our world, we like to think of ourselves as self-made, individual, isolated. And that's the problem because we lose our heritage. But in the our world, the relationship world we've been talking about, the world the Bible sets out for us to live in the our world, the idea of heritage has to do with locating and building our identity around those we're related to in the past, around those we're related to in the present, and even around those who we're going to relate to in the future. Building a godly heritage will mean that we will work hard at shaping our character and our actions according to what the Bible says in order to make a positive contribution into future generations. That's what we're talking about this morning. But before we get on to talk about that, the why and the how of building a godly heritage, I want to make a note about the complexity of this topic. The concept of heritage is really complex because our relationships are very complicated. Like it or not, much of what we are comes from our heritage. It shapes us. It defines us. It orientates us. It's quite strange because often people talk about me as the exotic person. I kind of don't think I'm that exotic, by the way. Gourmet, yes. Colorful, yes. But compared to some of you guys, probably am exotic. But here we go. I'm exotic, and I suppose my exotic good looks come from my even more exotic parents. They came in the height of the White Australia policy. So they were tough. They taught me to be tough. They taught me never to take a handout from those around me. My mum, I inherited from her an innate sense of unbelievable practicality. So for the first 12 years of my life, she cut my hair with a bowl as a guide. And counselling will never fix that. My father, I inherited from him a sense of making good of every situation. He was sent by his family 7,500 kilometres from his home when he was 15, all by himself in order to make a new life for himself. Now that's tough. I inherited a bit of that. Maybe you look back at my heritage and it goes far beyond what my parents taught me or even what my grandparents taught me. It even goes back to, yes, I'm Chinese. I'm good with money. I like maths. It's best to assume I know Kung Fu. But more than that, my heritage is much greater than my racial background. I'm a human. I'm shaped by my humanity. My heritage comes from being a descendant of Adam and my unity in Christ. I'm molded by my Creator and my Father. I'm transformed into being like Jesus Christ because I'm united with Him as my brother. And on top of that, I'm related to all of you guys. And you guys all affect me in some way because as Christians, we are united by the Holy Spirit. So we are brothers and sisters in Jesus. So hopefully you're starting to get an idea of what I'm talking about in terms of heritage. We're shaped by our relationships in the past, but we're also shaped by our relationships right here in the present. And we do this so that we can start thinking and talking about building a godly heritage for the future and for future generations. So here we go. As I've said earlier, whether we're conscious about it or not, each of us is shaped by a heritage. And we've inherited that through a myriad of relationships. And each of us will be leaving a legacy that may affect dozens, hundreds, thousands in future generations and the generations that come after that. Many in our I world don't want to think about that. They want to talk about being a human being and leaving this earth as a human being is about eating, drinking, and being merry and leaving the smallest footprint possible on this earth as you leave. They think of it in terms of like footsteps on the sand at the beach. Those footsteps that you leave are washed away and there's nothing left for future generations. But that's not what the Bible says. That is not what we are to be as Christians. Building a godly heritage is an our world concept, and we need to be intentional about that. In fact, establishing a godly heritage is exactly what God has intended for all of humanity. In Genesis chapter 5, we're given an account of Adam's line. It says, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created the male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. Now when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and named him Seth. And in chapter 5, it goes on for 10 generations. Generation after generation after generation after generation, right down to Noah. And Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, was a godly man, a righteous man who was blameless and walked in the ways of God. And the question you've got to ask is why? Because he was made in the image and likeness of his father who was godly. Who was made in the image and likeness of his father, and of his father, right up through to Seth and Adam. We're meant to make an impact on the next generation. God made Adam in his own image and likeness, and that is supposed to transmit from generation to generation and generation. We can keep looking through Israel's history in the Old Testament, and we see that God intended his people to build this kind of godly heritage. And the passage we read today in Exodus 13 describes what the Israelites were to do for the Passover meal and why. God instructs his people to celebrate his tradition every year as a reminder of what he has done for them. That is a heritage for the Israelites. The heritage that they would pass on from generation to generation, year in, year out. And that would give them opportunities to teach the next generation of God's gracious and mighty acts. Another example is in God's giving of the law. His people heard it through Moses, and then they're faithfully to pass it on by the words of their mouth and by their actions. Deuteronomy 4 says, be on your guard and be diligent, and diligently watch yourselves, so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, and so you don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and grandchildren. Deuteronomy 11 says, imprint these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Bind them as a sign on your hands, and let them be symbols on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 31, gather the people, men, women, children, and foreigners living in your gates, so that they may listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to follow all the words of his law. Then their children who do not know the law will listen and learn to fear the Lord as long as they live. Do you get the picture? Establishing a godly heritage is part of God's purpose for his people. Each family is to set up their own rituals and traditions. Parents and grandparents to teach children and grandchildren. But also groups are to gather together so that Israel's history would be passed on. So that Israel's heritage, their godly heritage, would be passed on from generation to generation. There are lots more examples all the way through the Bible. When you read the Old Testament, you can see example after example through Joshua, where good examples of godly heritage are passed on. When you read the Chronicles and the Kings, there are lots of bad heritage passed on by bad, ungodly kings to generations. Lots of examples. But when you're hearing this, you might have heard this for the first time, or just reading about Israel right now, you might be thinking, hey, that's Israel. That's kind of well and good. Israel's in a when the Old Testament's a different context at a different time, a different set of people. You might be thinking when you read the Old Testament in terms of heritage building, that sounds well and good. They're in the promised land. We're not. We're in Castle Hill. But when you read it, and I quote an eminent theologian in our midst, Shane Dirks, he said, when you read the Old Testament, it kind of feels like wearing someone else's undies. Can I just say, when you read the Bible, when you read the Old Testament, all the promises, all that amazing rich heritage, all that awesomeness that God had promised for Israel. Well, that is your story as well. Our heritage, if you are Christian, belongs to Jesus Christ, because he is the fulfillment of it all. Jesus is the second Adam. He is the true Israel, the fulfillment of all those laws we're talking about in the Old Testament. And because we are united right now with Christ, we are grafted in to the true vine with all that rich history, with all that rich heritage, with all that amazing stuff that God promises, as when you read in Romans 11. So whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or 40 seconds, you now share in this incredible heritage to be counted as God's people, to be made anew and recreated in Christ. So we see in the New Testament as well then a new heritage that is a continuation from the old in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. When you read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in terms of building a heritage, read this. You therefore, my son, Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And whatever you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who are able to teach others also. So we see a similar pattern in the New Testament as we saw in Deuteronomy. Timothy is to faithfully pass on what is heard to faithful teachers of God's word. And this gospel, this message, Paul says in verse 8 of that chapter, is that Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David. So again, Jesus' Old Testament heritage is crucial for us and our Christian heritage. So building a heritage is what God intends for all who are God's people. Building a godly heritage is what God intends for you and for me. But before we move on to how, I just want to point out again that heritage building is not just the job of the nuclear family. It's not just the job of mothers and fathers and children. It's not the job of just the immediate family. When you go back to 2 Timothy, I want you to note that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is the one passing on heritage to Timothy. Just remember, Paul was never married. Paul never had children. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 10 of 2 Timothy, but you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings. And when you skip down to verse 14, so continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. You know those who taught you, and you know that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures. You see, Timothy's Christian heritage is not just a product of Paul, but also his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, or Lois, how you say it. And we find that in chapter 1. But it's important to bear in mind that this heritage building happened in all the different relationships that God puts us in. This means that for Timothy, his heritage was built by Paul, by his mother, his grandmother, and the church around him. This means that for us, for the idea of building a godly heritage, it's not just the responsibility of the immediate family. It's not just the responsibility of our extended families. When you read the Bible, heritage building is for the next generation, in our families, in our church, in our community in Castle Hill, in our city. When you read the Bible, heritage building, building a godly heritage, is a community activity, an activity of all of us, of our spouse, of our parents, of our children, of our leaders. So the question we've got to ask ourselves this morning is this. When we're thinking about building a godly heritage, ask yourself this question. What will the next generation inherit from you? Will it be godly? Or will it be something else? So how do we build a godly heritage? Three very simple points, hopefully. The first thing we need to do in order to build a godly heritage is firstly discover your own heritage. You might need to go back as far through history as you might not need to go through all the history, but it might help. A useful place to start is looking at your own childhood, thinking about your own parents. Think about your parents and ask what good and what bad legacies they leave you with. Recognize that some of those traits that you might love or hate came from somewhere else. Ask people who know you really well and they can help you here. Be open and honest. And in some cases, you might even have to speak to a professional counselor. Especially if you've buried parts of your childhood which are too painful to uncover right now. Discovering our heritage is not only important for your own self-discovery, but it's crucial if it's going to help us determine what good and what bad will we pass on to our children and the next generations. Speaking of discovering self-heritage, or your heritage, don't forget what we learn from the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's not wearing someone else's undies. The whole Bible describes the whole counsel of God, and it describes our whole Christian heritage. So if we're to be true images of God, we must learn what the Bible says and what our Christian heritage looks like. So that's the first thing, discover your own heritage. The second thing about building a godly heritage is we need to seek forgiveness and forgive. Now, families are highly skilled at holding grudges and nursing bitterness regarding some kind of suffering, no matter how big or small. Many of us have less than ideal relationships with our parents or other members in our families, and some of us here have even suffered immensely at the hands of our family. You may have had a neglected childhood. You may have been the recipient or the non-recipient of parents who found it difficult to love you or say they love you or show their love to you. Or you may have suffered the effects of someone in your family being addicted to alcohol or drugs or gambling. Or you may have suffered violence or some kind of abuse. Whatever happens, it may be immensely painful. And for you, this whole topic may be very delicate and difficult to bring up. However, as difficult as this may be to hear, you have to start making the decision to forgive and move on. Because if bitterness and sourness is left unchecked in your life, it would be very difficult to make a positive step forward in the future. But hear me very carefully. I am not saying forgive and forget as if nothing happened. I'm not saying that. That would be impossible because all sin has consequences. And some sin especially leaves terrible wounds and scars. But to move forward, you need to be willing to move towards forgiveness. Even though there may never be reconciliation. And if you need help here, can I encourage you, talk to a Christian counselor. They are God's gift to us in this area. What we need to be reminded of is that God's grace is sufficient to help us. And because God is forgiving and merciful, our heritage need not be bitter and sour. Now, on the one hand, we may be the ones who need to forgive. But on the other hand, we also might need to be the ones who seek forgiveness. If we're responsible for imparting an unhealthy heritage, then we need to seek forgiveness for that. Let's be honest with ourselves. Even though it's hard to admit fault, it's even harder to seek forgiveness. Matthew 5, 21 and 26 tells us that if you've wronged another person, you need to seek their forgiveness and reconciliation before you come to worship God. This last week, this whole idea of heritage building, building a godly heritage, has been very difficult and challenging for me. It might surprise you that I'm not the ideal father or spouse or even friend. On Friday, I caught myself just going nuts and shouting at my kids. So I made a pact with Alex on the way to school. On the way to school, I asked him to forgive me, and I promised to be different. The chances are that if Alex is going to have a temperament of flying off the handle and going nuts at the drop of a hat, the chances are he learned that from me. And the legacy I left him. So forgive, or make the move towards forgiveness, and seek forgiveness for any unhealthy heritage you've been passing on to others. The third way to build a godly heritage is be intentional in establishing a godly and biblical heritage. When you look back at Exodus 13, here God established a ceremony that each family would do every year. For 6 days they would eat unleavened bread, and then they'll have a feast on the seventh day. And although this seems like a very strange ritual, here's the point. They're to do this because when their children ask why they do this, they can say, I do this because of what the Lord has done for me. All those traditions, all those feasts, all those kind of weird rules and rituals in the Old Testament, they're physical reminders of all for all the Israelites, not only of what God has done for them, but also for them to continue living in obedience to all God's commandments. So heritage building, when you look at the Old Testament as an example, is done intentionally. And those little rituals and traditions ought to have a godly purpose. What about us? What about our traditions and rituals in our families? Some of them you picked up on the way. Some of them you inherited from your parents and godparents and grandparents. Maybe we need to revisit those little traditions, those little rituals. Are they helpful in building relationships? Are they godly, and do they have a godly purpose and intent? Over the last couple of weeks, we've heard some really helpful things that will help build a godly heritage. Reading the Bible with your kids. Having regular family nights. Turning off electronic devices during mealtime. Well, they're all well and good. Be creative. Think about the things that you need to do and build into your families and into your traditions and into your, so that the next generation and the generations to come will have a godly heritage. But it doesn't just stop at your family. What about us as a church? What form does the service take? What do we do in our gatherings? What traditions do we have here? And are they godly? And do they have a godly purpose? Remember, when we think about us as a church, a couple of weeks ago, Keith talked about we as people have buckets full. We don't come with buckets empty, because God, in his grace and love and mercy, has filled us to the absolute brim. So when we gather together, when we remember who we are as God's people, we come buckets full, willing and able to serve and look outwardly and not just at myself. Maybe if we're going to start a new tradition, maybe we can be a tradition of being a church which is unbelievably welcoming and friendly. I get tired of people sending me emails saying, I came to church, no one said hello, I'm never coming back. Can I encourage you, start a new tradition today. Make a new friend before you catch up with your friends. Maybe invite someone back to your house for a meal today. And I give you amnesty if you have a messy house. Today, if you invite someone back to your house, they cannot and will not and should not complain, because if they do, I will eat them. But how can we start new traditions with buckets full so that we can have a church that passes on a godly heritage, not only for our children, not only for the generation that comes through our church, but imagine a heritage that our community sees and wonders and is attracted to the gospel because of it. Our character, our actions, the things we do in this life, the things we do shaped by the Bible, shaped by the R world, they have consequences today. And they have consequences right up into the future, for future generations, and they may even have eternal consequences. So this morning, can I encourage you, as you are thinking about the R world, the relationship world, the world the Bible describes, take your life and your family and build a godly heritage.